My first guest this morning is Dr. Richard Pitcairn, author of Dr. Pitcairn's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. He's an internationally renowned holistic veterinarian. And I hope you'll stay tuned for the second segment of today's show with Kathleen Fontaine, whose one-woman performance is coming up this weekend. Welcome, Dr. Pitcairn.
Thank you, Hollis. It's a pleasure to be here. Hello to everybody. It's a wonderful town to visit.
Yeah. Dr. Pitcairn's here in Santa Fe to give a talk Saturday, April 26th.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday evening.
Boy.
6:30.
Thank you. Okay. I think they may have changed that since I got the first flyer. So it's Thursday at 6.
6:30.
At 6:30. Thursday at 6:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation at 501 Helena Street. Tickets are available at Marty's Meals at 1107 Penn Road in the Penn Road Shopping Center. That's behind a small Whole Foods market in the same building as City Boot and Shoe. Dr. Pitcairn's talk here is sponsored by Marty's Meals and Dr. DiBlanco, a local holistic veterinarian. And she told me this morning the tickets to his talk are almost sold out, so if you're interested, hop on it. So, Dr. Pitcairn, you are sort of the progenitor of veterinary homeopathy and holistic veterinary, are you not?
I didn't know. Well, I was one of the early people doing it, but certainly not the first. There were others, but it just wasn't very well recognized, I guess you would say.
How did you get there? You had been traditionally trained and were practicing.
Oh, my, yes, it's a story. I went through veterinary school. I'll try to give it to you briefly. I went through veterinary school in California at UC Davis, and then I went into practice, into what's called a mixed practice in veterinary field, where you treat anything that moves, basically, except people. And and I didn't find that I was really getting the results I expected from school. So I got an opportunity to go back to school again in Washington State, and I did a PhD there in microbiology and did some research. And I still didn't come out feeling I could cure disease necessarily, so I began to investigate other things and came across the importance of nutrition. And I became interested in homeopathic medicine and other forms of therapy. So that took me a different direction.
So what all is included, or what do you include in the definition of holistic veterinary?
Oh, wow. My understanding of it is that holistic would be that we're looking at the patient as a whole, and that probably doesn't make sense just to say that. So let me back up and say the conventional way that medicine usually operates is that we fragment the patient. We have specialists for different parts of the body, and we have a doctor that treats the mind as opposed to treating the physical body and so on. So that's one approach. The holistic approach takes a patient as a whole. So everything that happens to them, regardless of what part of the body, and also including changes in the mind, emotion, mental problems, are all considered to be the same issue. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, but we're talking about cats and dogs.
Yes,
and
same
not
thing.
People, so I think a lot of people may not think too much about applying the holistic ideas to their animals, and especially homeopathy. So,
well, let me give you an example.
Yeah,
let's say you had a dog that had some kind of physical problem, maybe some itching or allergy or a joint problem or something, and during the treatment with the conventional treatment, the dog improves somewhat physically with the drugs it's on, but now it develops mental issues. It gets very suspicious. Maybe it bites people, or maybe it becomes very frightened of things. From the holistic perspective, we would see that it's the same problem that's been focused now on a different level. It hasn't been cured. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's the same issue, but we've pushed it in a certain direction, so it's taken a different form. The conventional approach would be to see those as different problems.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference?
Yes.
So the holistic approach is saying it's the patient has one problem, more or less, say it's one problem, and that to cure it, we have to consider everything that's wrong as part of the way to approach it.
Now, you're retired from practice.
From practice,
and,
yeah.
And you, because you have you've begun an academy of holistic veterinary medicine.
Yes, I was involved in some years ago in helping to establish a professional organization for veterinarians. There were enough of us learning to do homeopathy, we needed to have our own group. So we started the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy, which is a medical association for veterinarians that are practicing this way. homeopathic medicine.
And is that actually a school somewhere?
No. I have a training program for veterinarians, and there are some other programs around the world. But the academy is just a professional organization, sort of like the AVMA.
Right. Or
only smaller, much smaller.
Or being a fellow in the College of Plastic Surgeons or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like that. It's just a professional medical association. We have meetings, have a journal, that kind of thing.
So you don't actually practice anymore, but you do a lot of this kind of consulting and teaching and...
Yes, I stopped practicing some years ago just simply because I was getting too much to do everything and getting older.
Right.
And so we moved to Sedona, Arizona, where my wife's an artist, and I continued to do teaching and writing, and I'm still doing that, still doing research.
So what kinds of problems, I mean, I suspect you would say all problems of all pets especially could be treated from a holistic perspective.
Yes.
But talk to me about the kinds of problems that you have helped pets with. What's most, that have been most effective, for example, using homeopathy?
Well, if you have a homeopathic practice as compared to a conventional veterinary practice, you really look pretty much the same. You're still a veterinarian. You still can do tests and x-rays and surgery if you wish. What's different is the treatments you give. So the conventional veterinarian is going to use primarily drugs, as we know them from a pharmacy.
Yes.
The homeopathic veterinarian is going to give out what are called homeopathic remedies. That's the significant difference is how it looks to the client. So that's the kind of practice I had for 20-some years in Oregon. I did just homeopathy. And so I treated everything that you could imagine a veterinarian would be given. It's not different, you see.
I'm assuming that most people in our listening audience know what homeopathy is, but maybe not.
So no, probably not.
Let's give them a little. Let's give them a little definition here.
I hear all sorts of things. I've had people say, "Oh, I went to a veterinarian who treated my dog with homeopathy. He gave him vitamin C." So homeopathy is a system of medicine that's over 200 years old. It started in Germany. And basically, put it very simply, it was a discovery that medicines could be used in very small doses to stimulate the natural body's healing tendencies. So we work with the direction that's already occurring, and we help it to work better.
So how would that work, say, for a dog with allergies?
Process involves finding the homeopathic medicine that matches that particular pattern of allergy. So allergy is a term, it's like a diagnostic term, it's kind of general. But let's say the dog chews around its base of its tail all the time. Well, that would be one homeopathic remedy that would match that. Another one might be chews his front feet all the time. Mm-hmm. So that might be a different remedy, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we look at, because there's well over 1,000 homeopathic medicines to choose from. So we match up the particular one that matches the pattern regardless of the diagnostic label. Uh-huh. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you, say I had a cat that had cancer and had a tumor, how would you deal with that as a homeopathic veterinarian?
Well, what we do is go back into the history. So the cancer is sort of a late stage of this problem, this one problem that's been building over a long period of time. So we go back into the earlier, say, all right, besides the cancer, what other problems did the cat have? Maybe it was hyperthyroid. Maybe it had some kind of intestinal disease. Maybe it had digestive issues or something. We take all of that information from the past and put it together as one picture. And we find the medicine that fits that. And that will then, if it's successful, it'll correct all of it.
And resolve the cancer.
Hopefully. Some cancer cases respond, some don't. It's not a panacea.
Right. And do a lot of vets combine things? Like, yes, they might excise the tumor and then treat with homeopathics, or?
There's quite a range. Those that are more focused on homeopathic medicine would tend not to do certain things that would interfere with the process.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other veterinarians that have more what's called a eclectic practice, where they'll do various therapies, mix them together.
For listeners who may have just joined us, I'm talking with Dr. Richard Pitcairn, author of Dr. Pitcairn's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. And we're talking about homeopathic and holistic veterinary medicine. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about nutrition. And,
okay.
And I've been kind of focusing on domestic pets because I suppose for most of the listening audience, that's what's germane, as opposed to livestock or something.
Sure, yeah.
Although I'm sure that these treatments and modalities can be applied to livestock. And
there are some veterinarians that specialize in treating livestock, mm-hmm. farm animals. Mm-hmm. Some specialize in horses.
Especially horses, I would think,
yeah.
yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about nutrition for, you know, our pets.
Can I add one other thing to that that's interesting to people? That one of the nice things about that for those veterinarians that treat livestock and horses and so on, livestock, is that you can treat an organic farm animals with homeopathy, and they can still be considered organic.
Right.
Nice, huh?
Right. Whereas if you were using certain
drugs, maybe not.
Then you would have to abandon the organic.
Well, or you
label.
Couldn't use those animals. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it?
And what's interesting to me also is that, you know, these natural ways of treating livestock and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so long ago that there wasn't a veterinarian, you know, out near Mora. To take
yes.
care of your cattle, and
yeah.
people had their own remedios, their own remedies for
mm-hmm.
for things
mm-hmm.
that tended to be mm-hmm. more holistic and
sure.
more nature-based.
Right.
But let's talk about nutrition.
Okay.
You know, when I was just thinking about when I was growing up with all of our dogs, they got Purina Puppy Chow when they were puppies, and then by the time they were a year old, they got Gravy Train. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there weren't that many products on the market,
no.
and now there are zillions
yes,
of products on the market.
There are.
Tell me about nutrition and keeping our animals well.
Well, it's a complex topic, and we could talk a long time on this. Basically, just common sense would tell us we want to give food that's nutritious and isn't toxic, right?
Right.
Those are the two main things. We want to have all the nutrients in the food that are necessary. And then we don't want something added to the food that would be in any way harmful to the body, right?
Right.
So those, the first one as far as providing the nutritional adequacy is an issue because of the way agriculture's done now. There is the way plants are grown and with synthetic fertilizers, they're rushed sort of to grow fast.
Uh-huh.
So they don't always develop all the nutrients they used to. In fact, studies have shown that the amount of nutrients in some of these plants is very, very low compared to 30, 40 years ago.
Hmm.
So sometimes, even if you use as best quality as you can find, they still aren't nutritionally adequate. So it's disappointing.
So so many of the products that we would buy at the grocery store or even at a pet store to feed our
mm-hmm.
home animals are
mm-hmm.
not really very nutritious. Is that what you're saying?
That's a problem that we have to face. The only solution I know of is to buy organic food because then it's grown more naturally and slowly and it has all the vitamins and minerals in it that should be there.
So if you're going to buy commercial products to feed your animals, then you advocate that you buy the organic ones.
If they're available.
Uh-huh.
They're limited.
Right.
And that's also in our book, why we recommended you fix it yourself and buy mm-hmm. organic ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of this is the toxic things in food, and this is a big issue because, for example, for decades we drove cars with leaded gasoline, and the lead was used as a lubricant for the valves in the engine,
mm-hmm.
so it would make noise. Well, the lead was spewed out of the tailpipes for decades all over our continent. So now there's a lot of lead in the soil, which accumulates in the bones of livestock. Well, and if you go down and buy your ordinary commercial food, it contains bones from livestock. So it has high levels of lead in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lead is toxic to animals, you see.
Yes.
They can cause seizures, mental issues, and physical problems, digestive issues, and cramps, and colic, and things like that, you
mm-hmm.
see. So that's just one thing, heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also a report that came out recently that there's high levels of arsenic in chicken. Almost all chicken sold in the U.S. other than organic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they add a drug that has arsenic in it to make them grow faster.
Yes.
You see, so we could go on and on with this. There's
right.
a lot of things. And then the most recent challenge is genetically modified.
Yes.
Which is in almost probably all commercial food, I imagine, except mm-hmm. certain specific brands that have avoided it. I don't offhand know any brands that have avoided it so far, but I hope there is one.
Yeah. You mean in animal foods?
Mm-hmm. Pet uh-huh. food. In other words, you uh-huh. go down and buy a pet food, you're probably going to have in it genetically modified foods.
Right.
Well, they've shown in studies that genetically modified foods cause health problems in animals.
Yeah. Especially the corn and soy, mm-hmm. I would imagine, mm-hmm. is in almost everything.
Yes, uh-huh. and canola oil.
So do you have pets yourself?
We don't right now. We had a cat that died not too long ago.
Uh-huh. And what did you feed your kitty?
We made the recipes ourselves in our book.
Uh-huh.
My wife Susan did, mostly. And I watched and I helped.
Uh-huh. That's great. Well, let's talk some more about some of the specific cases that you've taken care of animals, that where holistic or homeopathic remedies have proved to be helpful. On your website, you have some of those stories.
A few, yes. I'd like to put up some more. there's a excuse me. There's an array of problems. Some are very complex and take a long time to treat, and then there's more simple ones. So the simple ones are like, say, a dog with parvovirus, say, has developed a virus infection, and they're very sick with vomiting, diarrhea, and fever, and so on. And you can expect with a homeopathic treatment that they will respond to that very quickly, and say within an hour they'll seem almost normal.
Wow.
That's typical.
Uh-huh.
Another one is injuries. I'm going to present in my talk an injury to a horse that's quite dramatic and show how that heals up without uh-huh. using drugs and antibiotics and things. So it'll be a good example case. But we treat the whole array of things. If going back to like your cat with cancer, that would probably be a long-term treatment over months or a year to do our best shot at it, because it's kind of like the issue is like how far the condition has developed, how far the disease has developed. If it's early on, it responds quickly. If it's been there for years, you can understand it's going to take a while for the animal to recover, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some things like allergies are slower, hyperthyroid conditions in a cat, say, is slower, cancer is slower. But other problems like injuries and like you can have an animal has a fractured bone, and with homeopathic remedies, you might still have surgery for this fractured bone and maybe put a splint on, perhaps.
Right.
But with certain homeopathic remedies, they heal in half the time.
Wow.
So you can assist these things.
So are the homeopathic remedies that you prescribe the same as those used for humans?
Yes, exactly.
And so with knowledge...
From pharmacies.
Yeah, with knowledge, can a lay person do some of this themselves?
They could do the simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And our book gives some guidance to that. But the more complicated ones we were just talking about,
right.
You know, they take
cancer.
A lot of skill. Yeah, because it's
right.
hard to see what... It gets so complicated. You've got... If you have an animal, let's say now it's 12 years old and it's been sick for 10 years mm-hmm. and it's had all sorts of problems, and you've got to take all of that information together, and the average person's not going to have the knowledge to see that and figure out what to give, you know. It's
sure.
just too complicated.
And what about, you know, there are so many products on the market. There, you know, every day we read some new report about how many billions of dollars Americans spend on their
right.
pets. And there are so many vitamins and, you know, the same sort of array of supplements and vitamins that are promoted by various companies for humans
yes.
are also promoted for our animals.
Right.
Do they really need those things?
Well, it harkens back to what I said about nutritional inadequacy. If you're feeding a natural diet to your animal, and especially organic, it's going to probably have everything that's needed in it. But if you're not... and you're feeding a commercial food, probably they need some supplementation.
Uh-huh.
Just because of the way the foods are growing now.
So what do you recommend? Do you recommend some sort of
multivitamin? I really prefer, I prefer natural source as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
Like, say, instead of giving a synthetic vitamin formula, maybe give the natural foods like brewer's yeast or some other source of vitamins.
I see.
Yeah, I think that works best.
Mixing things mm-hmm, into their food.
Into the food.
Mm-hmm.
That works pretty well, actually.
And they probably like it better than, you know,
yeah.
trying to stick to it.
Cats
you know.
Really like brewer's yeast. They
yes.
love it. Yeah.
I was going to say, cats especially, it's difficult to give a cat any kind of medicine.
You've noticed.
Yeah. I have
you want to show me a scar in your finger?
Oh, gosh. I have a particular memory of one cat that I had to give some pink stuff in a eyedropper to
oh,
this
yeah.
cat. The pink stuff was all over the room.
Ampicillin,
the cat never
yeah.
got a bit.
yeah, that sounds right.
Right.
Well, one advantage of homeopathic treatment is that you give the remedy once and then wait maybe 2 or 3 weeks before you repeat it.
Oh.
That's nice, huh?
Yeah. Not quite as hard to do.
There is another method you can use in homeopathy that we use sometimes where you give it more often in liquid. And I've had clients say to me, could we go back to the other way of just giving it every 3 weeks or so?
Right.
It's a lot easier.
So we've been talking a lot about cats and dogs because, of course, they're our most common pets. But what other kinds of pets have you treated with homeopathy?
Oh, my gosh. almost, well, birds, rodents, snakes.
Hamsters.
Gerbils. All sorts of things.
Guinea pigs.
Mostly dogs and cats in my experience, because that's just the kind of practice I had. But I've treated quite a wide range. And you can treat almost any animal with homeopathy, even fish. Fish have responded,
fish?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So another question I was wondering about, is there an application of holistic or homeopathic veterinary to end of life for animals?
Yes, absolutely.
And what does that look like?
Well, again, it depends on the condition, but the majority of animals, if they're ready to die, and we have to recognize that's where they are, there are certain signs.
Right.
But if they are, they can be given a remedy to help them die very peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, typically, they'll die in the night. They'll go to sleep and then die in their sleep.
It's like a mild, something that's sort of like a mild sedative?
No, it's it hastens that process naturally.
Uh-huh.
See, homeopathic remedies never act like drugs. It's hard to wrap your head around that, so we won't go there. But
yes.
But they stimulate certain natural tendencies,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So if you're already dying,
mm-hmm.
you can take a remedy that will assist the dying process, but make it easier.
Yes.
Just like healing a bone is easier uh-huh. with the
yeah.
remedy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Well, and you know, I think for many people in today's world, the way our animals come to the end of their lives is that we end up euthanizing them.
Mm-hmm.
And often we'd rather not.
Yes.
But we don't quite know how to move forward. So
yes.
the idea would be, well, find a holistic or a homeopathic,
right.
a veterinarian who,
right.
who practices
uh-huh.
that kind of medicine to talk to about
sure.
how that might play out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You can contact a homeopathic veterinarian. They'll assist you with that process. It's really, it's done frequently. And I've done it many, many times with clients, and I had the last one that happened with me. The client said she's never seen an animal die so peacefully before.
Oh, sweet.
It was really nice. She was very pleased. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with me, Dr. Pitcairn.
Oh, you're welcome.
Dr. Pitcairn will be speaking at 6:30 p.m. Thursday at the Santa Fe Community Foundation at 501 Helena Street. It's at the corner of Helena and Paseo de Peralta. And tickets are available at Marty's Meals, 1107 Penn Road in the Penn Road Shopping Center. You can call 476-8162 for more information. His book will be for sale at the talk, Dr. Pitcairn's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. You can join 400,000 other people who mm-hmm. bought that book.
Written by Susan Pitcairn with help by Richard Pitcairn.
Uh-huh. And you can also check out his website. That's drpitcairn.com. And we're going to take a little break. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe.